bucks. I get you loaning that in the...
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Title here comes from, if you're gonna run and buy a car, you often go around and kick the tires and, you know, kind of see if it responds the way you think it ought to. And so that's kind of what I've done here. My first experience with really doing any crop modeling was way back in the late 1980s, and I was using the Gossan cotton model. I don't know if any of you remember that. We haven't heard much about it lately. But in any event, this was in Arizona, and I was trying to simulate my cotton crop, and my simulated plants kept dying, whereas the real ones were happily growing out in the field. So that kind of told me that, you know, there's something really wrong with that Gossan model. But it wasn't so much that it was really wrong, it's just that it was developed in Mississippi, where under humid conditions, and the plants out there in Arizona were growing at a much cooler temperature. And so the air temperatures in Arizona that were in the model were killing the plants, whereas the real ones weren't, and they were just happy. Well, anyway, that has always made me very sensitive, if you will, like the plants are, to what the actual temperature of the leaves are. So let's see if we can move along here. Well, the history of this is that there's this crop grow model that Ken Booty and colleagues have developed that's within the DISAT family of models. And going back even further, Jagtop and Jones, way back 25, 26 years ago, published this three-source energy balance model for evapotranspiration, and it also calculated the canopy temperature. And it worked with sunlit and shaded leaves in the soil surface, so that's the three sources. And then 20 years ago, Nigel Pickering, along with Ken and so forth, wrote this routine called ET FOAT. And what's interesting about that is they put it in the crop grow model. Jump back. Anyway, the FOAT part has been used and used and used, whereas the ET part has just sat there and never been used. And in conversations later on, why I started talking about, well, we really ought to get an energy balance model within the DISAT family, and Ken Booty spoke up, well, it's already there. Well, it's been there and sitting there, and nobody's been using it. So, anyway, I decided to go ahead and try to kick the tires on that a little bit. Now, that three-source model looks to me like it ought to be quite a good one, and so it's should be worth looking at. Now, why don't I get a... Shoot, there's no... Here it comes. Okay, so anyway, the net radiation comes down. Here's sunlit leaves, shaded leaves, and the soil surface. And so then it's also accounting for them and computing what the vapor pressure is within the canopy. So we've got a latent heat loss being accounted for. Over here it's computing the temperature of the canopy, and we've got the sensible heat loss going on here too. So these are all the different fluxes and the resistances that are in this model. And it seems to me, like I said, that ought to be a pretty good one if we can get all those resistances simulated quite well. Garrett Hogernboom has organized what we're calling sprints, where a bunch of us geeks get together and sit around a table and write code as fast as we can. And since the last one I attended, why, I've been working and getting a lot more variables out, particularly those resistances, so we can take a look at them. And then in the meantime, what's happened is that the linkages to the T-grow routine, that's part of ET FOAT, a lot of that got broken. So I'm trying to get all those linkages back working again. And so here we go. for the test case, this seems to be something that Cheryl Porter just signed and picked at random, and I've run with it. It's a soybean crop that was grown at the University of Florida, Bragg, and then there were two treatments. It is lightly irrigated, and there was rain fed. And then within the DISAT model, you have your choice of what routine you want to use to compute ET. So the comparison here is generally between the Ritchie model, which is robust and has been used a lot, and certainly works very well under humid conditions, and then this untested energy balance model that's going to be called Z, and that's the what you put in the model on input, an R and a Z to get it. And then the one other thing I did, oh, I really hate this, is that I took the Florida data that we were running this with, and then I computed another set of data where I reduced the vapor pressure to be 20% of that of what it was in Florida. So that was an arid condition. So before the start of the sprints, this is what the Ritchie model was giving. There's the rain-fed one, and then there's what the, this is the irrigated one, and then here's what the rain one. And then if I changed the humidity on it, why, there was no change. That's just what we expected. And then here's what the Z was giving, or the energy balance one. And you can see that things are pretty parallel out here, and it is responding to humidity. So that first kick of the tires looks pretty good, like it's responding. This is cumulative evapotranspiration. You better read it, or I better tell you. In any event, but there's a big problem, and that is way off at the beginning, it's obvious that there's hardly any soil evaporation going on. So there's something really wrong here way at the beginning of the season. But once we got leaf cover, why, this thing is looking sensible, but not back here. Then if we look at canopy temperatures that are getting simulated, oh my gosh, sorry folks. Sorry folks that are getting this on your thing, I'm going to give up and give the people here a little thought. Anyway, what's going on is that if we're looking at the canopy temperatures, kind of before I got started, all the treatments are giving the same canopy temperature that's coming out of there. But then when we go in and throw the trigger for doing the Z, while we're getting responses, it is changing, and we're getting cool temperatures here in the middle of the system. So no change in R, that's what we expected, but the Z's are quite different. So it looks like, you know, we got something going here that's looking favorable. This April then was after had some health issues and computer issues, and so I haven't worked on it since April. But in any event, that's why this date is out here. And what's happened is that the noon canopy temperatures, again, they're higher than air temperature at the beginning of the season as we expect, and then they get cooler during the mid-season, and so forth. So it kind of looks like this model is passing the kick the tire test with regard to that. I looked also at extractable soil water, and lo and behold, why, there's no change in either the R or the Z's with any of the changes I made so far. So here's another link then that we need to work on. 2 minutes? No. That's 10, 15. Okay, well anyway, I'm moving along. Soil temperature, it's something too that making pretty much sense, but one thing that's happened here is the first soil layer in order, they've made it 10 centimeters thick. And so that's looking very fishy. Soil surface temperature before giving all the same, no matter what I did, same thing. But then after I get some of the links fixed, why, we're going along and it's looking like the soil surface temperature for the Z-Pace is looking okay. It's higher than at the beginning of the season and cooler in the middle of the season when we got leaf cover. Here's the top's weight. In the case here of the Ritchie one, rain-fed, irrigated, and then when we zip over to Z, it's work, and then it responds also then to humidity as we expect. And what's happening also is that because it's cooler now, the growing season is getting a little bit longer, and so the maturity is longer, and this shows up in the growth stage as well as the yields. Okay, here's grain weight. It's basically kind of showing the same thing as the biomass, and that it is responding to temperature and so forth. So where do we go from here? Known problems is that there's obviously a real problem with the temperature there at the beginning of the season. It's looking like also the linkage probably with the soil water isn't doing so well. And this is the kind of the first slide I showed you at the beginning too, is that the cumulus soil evaporation is looking very suspicious, and it takes a long time for it to get going at the beginning of the season when we turn on the energy balance. So I already mentioned that in order to get numeric stability, why Pickering had gone in and made the soil layer 10 centimeters thick. Here's some old data that I took a long time ago, just showing, here's 10 centimeters, and here's soil profiles for 3 hours after dawn and 3 hours after sunset, and you can see there's a tremendous amount of temperature changes going on in that top 10 centimeters. So having a 10 centimeter thick layer is probably not going to work it. This is the equation that we used for doing the energy balance on a soil layer, and from numeric analysis things, they tell us that, you know, the time step can't be any larger than these things here, where that's heat capacity and that's the thermal conductivity. And if you go down here, here's then the maximum time steps that we can be using for numeric stability. And right in here, for instance, it looks like we can't get, in order to have numeric stability with an hourly time step, you're going to have layers no more than 6 centimeters thick. Whereas, but now the computers are much faster, so we can start thinking about using 1 or 2 centimeter thick layers and probably make that work. And so that's what we're going to start working on here, is try to shorten the time step and reorganize those layers to see if we can't get that part of it going a little bit better, as well as continuing to work on those linkages. And so with that, I thank you for your attention.
We'll just stay here. Time for one quick question. Any question? Nope.
No. Oh, that's one. It's very specialized.
Try that quickly. She wants to ask.
That's 2 steps ahead.
Okay, good answer. I think we need to move on. Thank you, Bruce.